Extension 108.
America tonight. Well, we're teetering on the edge of our seats over the swine flu. Schools are being closed across the nation. Not all of them. In select areas, we're seeing that schools are being closed. In Texas, like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where they were hit pretty hard, we're seeing that 80,000 students are now not going to school indefinitely is what they're saying, because the district decided with a confirmed case it was just way too risky. How about you? Are you finally scared, worried, concerned about this influenza, the swine flu? I want to know. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I'm surprised that I haven't heard from more people that are a little bit worried. We've had a couple of different people on, and we've got Dr. Mayna Ramirez coming up, who has advised Congress, et cetera, about things that you can do to try to keep yourself safe from the swine flu, although he doesn't say that there's a definite 100% way you can do that, or they'd be selling it on the Internet to be sure, and it wouldn't be a scam, because there is no definites when it comes to it. You could be infected simply by somebody accidentally sneezing on you or touching something that somebody had where they had coughed on it or et cetera, or some spot where they had been. It's that serious. Just ask the people in Mexico. I mean, Mexico's on full tilt. They've shut down. So the World Health Organization decided to raise the alert level to a 5. Now, if you don't understand the scale, here's how it was explained to me. 6 means pandemic. So we're at a 5. Remember when we had the whole terrorist alert thing? Well, I guess we still do, where it's orange, yellow, etc. This would be pretty serious. Enough that it's not going to take too much for it to jump to a 6, and then a lot of different things would kick in. Obama, of course, asking for $1.5 billion to combat this, trying to reassure the nation as part of his speech that, hey, there's systems in place for this whole swine flu thing. But I think particularly parents of children may be the most worried. If you're a parent and you're listening to me, you probably fall into the category of the most concerned in the United States, it seems. Where others, I don't know if it's that we live in a bubble and we think, well, yeah, this is never going to happen. And people just seem to not be as concerned as I would think. Unless it's an area where there are confirmed cases, then there's a run on all kinds of things at the pharmacies and the phone lines are blown out with all kinds of questions. You can chime in certainly on that 800-259-5791. We're going to let you hear Dr. Robert Besser. He's the acting director of the CDC. Here's his take on the swine flu.
Dr. Richard Besser is the acting director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Besser, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Very sad news this morning about this toddler who has died, the first U.S. fatality in terms of the swine flu. Something you predicted, though, yesterday, you said we would begin to see the loss of life, sir. What can you tell us about this particular case?
You know, even though we've been expecting this, the news of a death, in particular of a child, is very sad. As a pediatrician and a parent, my heart goes out to the family in Texas. You know, we know that influenza is a serious infection. As your reporter was saying, each year we see tens of thousands of deaths from influenza every flu season. We're trying to learn more about this strain of the flu, and it's very important that people take their concern and channel that into both planning and action to reduce the likelihood that they'll get sick, and so that they know what they would do if they did become ill.
But prior to the loss of this child, what we had noticed here in this country was that the cases seemed to be much milder than they were in Mexico. So do you think that the actual strain is changing here? Are we going to see many more deaths?
No, you know, I don't think this indicates any change in the strain. We see with any flu virus a spectrum of disease symptoms. Most people with a seasonal flu will recover quite well. But there are a certain number of people who don't handle flu viruses as well and do poorly. And with every new infection, and in this case a new strain of flu, it's unique. And until it progresses, we won't know the full spectrum. And that's why we're being so aggressive in our efforts to understand this and to put out guidance on how to control it.
And it's also confusing because at least in the beginning, this flu seemed to strike young, healthy adults, not children and the elderly. That was one of the things you said was different about it.
You know, one of the things you see with seasonal flu is that the very young and the elderly tend to do worse, and people with underlying medical conditions. And so what we are looking very closely at, and as we see more cases and we understand Mexico, we'll understand better, we're looking at that distribution to see who is getting this infection, who is handling it well, who is not. That will help us tailor and adjust our recommendations. So expect, as we learn more, our guidance and recommendations will continue to change. We post guidance on our website very frequently. Last night we posted new guidance on management of women who are pregnant. Again, trying to provide current information to the medical community and the public so they know what they can do to both protect their health and take care of themselves if they're ill.
Dr. Besser, not to frighten the public, but do you anticipate that we will see this in all 50 states?
Well, you know, as I've been saying, as we look, we're going to find more cases. We're going to find more severe cases, and I expect that we'll continue to see additional deaths. Whether we see it in all 50 states or not, we can't predict, and I think that it's not helpful to predict.
Besser,
but I think and that all 50
states
need to be
watching for this. In the United States, and how many we've seen, more are being reported. More states are saying that they have a confirmed case or two. It's 11. In fact, it's 11 now states that have come forward, sent in samples, et cetera, to the CDC and have confirmed cases. Texas hit pretty hard. California hit pretty hard. Of course, the worst is New York. And when I say hit pretty hard, in an urban area where there's a chance school kids and more school kids could be infected by this, and in New York, because of the St. Francis deal, that epidemic there, they obviously decided that they had to scrub down the school and all that sort of stuff, and this was because the kids had gone to Cancun. And there was a similar thing with some school children in South Carolina who also had a spring trip to Cancun. So, you know, on this, if we looked at it this way, are you, one, panicked, two, concerned, or three, not one bit worried? I wonder where most people fall. I would have to say that I said this before, I feel a little bit concerned, and that may be because I'm in an area where more cases keep, you know, cropping up, and I'm out there a lot, and I'm thinking, geez, I've been in parks, I've been with my dog, there's a chance. I mean, who knows? I don't feel any symptoms, and I'm not paranoid, but at least I'm in the zone where people have had confirmed cases. I think if you're in an isolated place where there hasn't even, a state where there hasn't even been a confirmed case, you're probably not worried one bit. You're hearing the headlines, maybe you're giving it a gander or two, you're listening to me here on the radio talk about it and hearing what Robert Besser had to say and earlier Margaret Chan from the World Health Organization, but that's it. And then you're sort of placing it in a different box and not thinking about it. You're thinking about other stuff, but trust me, if it goes to a six, then you'll see some things that will happen where the government steps in a little bit more and we'll all be concerned. Absolutely. You can jump in on that or anything else that we're talking about, including Obama, 100 days.
Of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com. Lipscomb.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Ooh-hoo. 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 Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
We're back on America Tonight, and as usual, you know, this show's about water cooler buzz. It's a favorite among those who have ADD. Raise your hand if you have it, in case you can't see, because we don't have that web camera up yet. I raised my hand. So we've been talking about a couple of different things. Obviously, Obama and his 100-day mark, but we've talked about that here for the past week on America Tonight and the grades that you would give him. As I said, if I was being fair and you have to give him something positive and you have to give him something negative, well, my positive would be that he's captivated the nation, that there's enough people with those approval ratings that obviously think what he's doing is working. And what he's doing is he knows how to speak to people and they like what they hear. I think that some of the broad strokes, like the stimulus plan, is ridiculous. The idea that we're going to have more big government, I don't like it because I'm about smaller government. And I don't like the fact that I think ultimately we're going to be paying for some of these mistakes for a very long time, because I don't see how you get out of this enormous debt and the bailout. I would have cut that bailout off. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have gone that way, especially with the banks. Now we're going to move into something else, and something that's kind of personal, because I was back home when this happened, and it's one of my favorite places to go. Cape May, New Jersey. It's a Victorian seaside town in New Jersey, just beautiful area. And specifically, the place is called Cape May Courthouse. Well, a New Jersey state trooper, I happened to be home when this happened, was patrolling back in September of 2006 in that Cape May area, that Jersey shoreline, and he went through an intersection when he was pursuing a speeder. It happened about 10 o'clock at night. There were two kids, two sisters, that were just getting into the intersection. They bought milk for their grandmother. And was a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. It was 17-year-old Jacqueline Becker and 19-year-old Christina Becker. What happened was that the trooper, the New Jersey State Trooper, Robert Higby, plowed into them and killed them. They died as a result of that accident. Of course, their family more than distraught, obviously. There have been some national stories that have been done about it, I believe, in the past couple of years. They have a jury. The jurors had to fill out questionnaires with 34 questions. The collision, they call it the incident, and were asked if they knew anything about it, if they were familiar with the intersection, where it happened, whether they know anyone in the case, all that sort of stuff. Like I said, it did get national publicity, so I think some people are aware of it. What's happened now is Robert Higbee, once they do all this, pick the jury selection continues because it's pretty tough. A lot of people in that South Jersey, Philadelphia area heard the story, but this Robert Higbee is facing about 20 years in prison, and right now he's suspended without pay from the New Jersey State Police, pending what happens in the outcome of this case. So my question is, one, if it's 20 years, I mean, do you think 20 years is enough snuffing out the two lives? And how do you feel about some of these high-speed pursuits that risk the public? This isn't the first time that we've seen something like this. I know some people think there should be a number on the back of the car, kind of like truckers have, so people can get their tag and report them. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame that this happened, obviously. I'm sure the state trooper would want to take it back. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that, because, of course, he wouldn't want to plow into these two girls. But this reckless driving, is anybody listening to me seeing a bunch of reckless driving by the boys in blue and think, wow, man, that could have, who knows, that could have smashed, he could have smashed into me. I mean, and I hate to trash the cops, because I think they have one of the hardest jobs in the world. They either get accused of being macho guys with sticks and guns, or, you know, being the opposite end, you know, too soft, etc., which is crazy, because, you know, what they encounter on the roadways in not knowing when they approach the car what's going to happen in some of these horrific stories we've seen on the other side of this. But I do agree with the deal of the high-speed chases. I think it's ridiculous. So somebody's speeding, I'm sorry, and this guy that he was chasing, it was just strictly a speeding thing. So you're tracking down this guy, the speeder, and you're speeding through the streets, and you end up killing two young girls. It cannot be worth the price of nailing this guy who's speeding. And like I said, it's hard for me to go in that direction, because I think police officers have a dangerous job that most people don't want to do. Most people do not want to risk their lives for very little pay, because they don't make a ton of money, unless they're at the top of the chain. But in chasing a speeder, you just don't blow through a stop sign, and that's what happened. He blew through a stop sign and then went into the intersection. Because how does that right the situation? So if you're chasing someone, then he shouldn't break the law, I think, in this kind of a pursuit. The girls felt like they were safe enough. They went into the intersection. Ugh. So this now goes on trial. The other side of this is, should he have taken a plea deal? Should he have admitted that he did something wrong and taken a plea deal instead of having this get dragged through the courts, if they would accept the plea deal, which I think they would have in this case? So let's see how it plays out. He ran the stop, and if he's found guilty, and you got to think about this, is this abuse of authority? And sometimes it can be pretty blatant. I mean, we could say this in any career, but the bottom line is, I've seen it. I've seen cops get all gung-ho chasing after somebody, and I've seen accidents where people luckily weren't killed, but there was accidents because of the chase. And here's the thing. There is a thing called, in Jersey, it's called Leo's. It's called Leo's Law. Law enforcement officers are held to different standards. Because in Jersey, it's illegal to use a cell phone while driving. But many, many cops will do this, oblivious to the law that they're trying to uphold. So in this case, in chasing and then blowing through the stop sign, brutal. And here's the other part you don't know about this, because I was there when this happened and saw it all played out, at least the first couple days, a couple weeks after this. There was a lot of controversy over the speeder that he was chasing. And they were covering up, they were kind of typically trying to cover up some of the details of what happened after the accident. And there was so much cry, so much public outcry, that they were ultimately forced to file charges. And that's what happened. Because they were going to try to just let it slide by. And just, you know, these two girls were killed, and isn't that sad? But it could not go under the wire. Because so many people wrote to the papers with opinion pieces and all that sort of stuff, and talked to the television news people, and were just outraged and pounding on the state troopers' doors to say, yeah, this can't, someone's got to be responsible for this, has to be responsible for this. So here's the deal. One, should he be convicted, or is it, well, you know, he's a cop, he's chasing someone, it's unfortunate, he went through the stop sign, it was just a sad, horrible, terrible accident, and he should be acquitted. Or, I mean, you be the judge. Should he be nailed for breaking the law, blowing through the stop sign to get the speeder, and ultimately killing these two girls in the process? If you sat on this jury, and I'm just giving you sketchy things on the evidence, but the facts are, the plain facts are, is that the Jersey trooper did go through the stop sign, did hit the girls in the intersection, did kill them. And the family's left with two dead daughters, all to catch a speeder through an intersection. Do you think he should get a pass, though, because it was an accident? He is a state patrolman. Certainly he didn't mean to smash into the girls. Or do you think he needs to suffer the penalty? See, I think that he should have taken the plea bargain to begin with, so that we wouldn't be in this quandary of picking a jury and did you hear the story and have you heard the story and was anybody in your family ever hit and all that sort of stuff. You can shoot me an email, americatonight.net, or jingle these numbers, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Kate with you here on America Tonight.
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's Shentrition, Shentrition.com. Or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day 30-day supply of the smoke-free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with smoke-free. Call 1-800-426-6186 today. That's 1-800-426-6186. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-426-6186 now.
Did you catch the ABC 2020 show and how record unemployment has increased the work-at-home scams? Titillating ads lure people in claiming they can make hundreds a day. You'll never hear that from our friends at IncomeAtHome45.com, and it's their integrity that's made them a work-from-home leader. IncomeAtHome45.com is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and has an A-plus rating. That's your peace of mind. They're connected to a multi-billion dollar company doing business in 70 countries for nearly 30 years. If your dream is to work from home, to stay home and raise your family, to insulate yourself from this economy, to stop living paycheck to paycheck, go to IncomeAtHome45.com right now. People are earning life-changing money from home, and IncomeAtHome45.com is adding people in record numbers. Don't miss this chance. Visit them now. They're giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. $1,000. Visit IncomeAtHome45.com. That's IncomeAtHome45.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com, or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
We're back on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a good one. Obviously, a tragedy when a cop kills someone or causes any kind of an injury to a citizen while they're on duty or off duty, certainly. They don't want to be embroiled in this. It's interesting. Somebody just shot me an email about this from Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, state troopers have numbers on the cars. If you see anything illegal or even suspicious going on while, you know, with a patrol car, or if they're in a clearly marked car, you can use that to report anything. So that's, I think that might be a good idea. Although, here's the deal. Some people just automatically hate cops, and then they could blow up the phone lines with ridiculous charges of things that really didn't happen. And as I said before, hey, cops have a dangerous job that most people really wouldn't even want to touch with a 10-foot pole. However, clearly part of the problem here was there was a big cover-up by the New Jersey State Troopers. And, you know, who and how far that went up, I don't know. It happened a couple of years ago. It was sad, obviously, just hauling butt, pursuing a speeder, flies through the stop sign, hits the two girls who had stopped, and just their car went into the intersection, and they were killed, a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. So they're in the jury part of this. He could get 20 years or so. And my question is, do you think he deserves to go to jail for this, or should he get a pass? And is it just part of, unfortunately, the collateral damage? I don't think he should get a pass in this case. Jason is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Jason, thanks for the jingle. What do you think?
Hi. Former law enforcement officer myself, there's several things that need to be taken into consideration. One is, you say this was in New Jersey. Well, New Jersey they'll have a what's called an SOP. That's a standards and operations and procedure. So if he was operating within those guidelines, well, that's one story. If he wasn't, then that's another story altogether. Us, if we were pursuing a vehicle, for one, if it was a speeder, then no, ma'am, that does not warrant endangering the lives of the public. Now, if it was a bank robber, child molester, something, you know, real serious, well, that's maybe that does warrant a little more aggressive driving, we'll call it. But no, I don't think if that's what he was after was a speeder. No, ma'am, he made a bad choice, and that choice needs to be paid for. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for calling. As somebody who knows, and you've had to, you've probably been in situations and you have to make those decisions. I like what you said there, that he made a poor choice, and I agree with you. If it were something else, if it were a bank robber, it shot a bunch of people, you're chasing them down the street, of course you're right, that's a much different scenario.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd say for that girl's families, I sure hate that. I hate it for him, too. But nonetheless, bad choice. Got to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call, Jason. We appreciate it. 800-259-5791. Do you agree with Jason? 800-259-5791. It is sad for the families. It was, as somebody who was there, living in the state, and I was visiting. I was visiting and it happened, and I remember when it happened because it was huge news and it was so sad. It caught my attention right away. Initially, it was just a report that these two girls had been killed, and then more things started to emerge that there was kind of this cover-up about it, and that was awful. And then, of course, a lot of people started to speak up, and the pressure became so much that they had to go after the state trooper. And obviously, as I said before, certainly he feels awful about this happening. Yeah, his family is wrecked, and he has a family, so he's suspended from his job, and he's waiting to find out if he's going to go to jail or what's going to happen, and this has been a couple of years. It's awful for both families, but it was a bad choice, and I think in this case, you got to do what's right, and I think he has to serve some jail time. I absolutely think that, because he sped through, and it was just a situation where you were talking about somebody speeding. There wasn't anything more to that. There wasn't somebody who had been shot or murdered or any of that kind of a thing where, you know, your idea is to get this person off the street, or they're a kidnapper, or, you know, whatever. But it's just a terrible tragedy all the way around. And we've seen this before. I mean, we've seen the car chases and stuff, and certainly in Los Angeles, my gosh, they highlighted so much that people actually, this is crazy, pay to be alerted when there's a chase in L.A. so that they can follow it when the police are chasing whatever person down whatever freeway, the 101 or whatever it is. And it happens so often there that there is a company, probably several, where they make a little bit of money in alerting you to a police chase. However, I will say this as somebody who is a television reporter anchor. I've gone out with the police on patrol, and I've seen some of the things that happen. And the cops that I've been with, and I have a brother-in-law that's a police officer, and I've seen some of the things they have to go through and all that stuff. And I've actually, because I couldn't get out of the situation, I was in a pursuit once, and it was a mild pursuit, but nothing, again, nothing where it was high speed or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, the bottom line is here, this is a tragedy beyond all possible measure. And, you know, does it constitute a criminal act? Was he responsible? Is the accident his fault? Should maybe procedures be changed to avoid it in the future? Well, of course. And should he spend time behind bars? Or is it a question of, you know, maybe you want to leave the real, as somebody said to me, maybe you want to leave the real criminals in the cells? Because this is something I've debated with a couple of people in New Jersey about this. And, you know, could it be a case that it's a civil court action or not? But, see, you know, this is criminal that we're talking about. two women dead, the family suffering, the grandmother sent them out, all that sort of stuff. And now you've got the cop chasing a speeder, and this is the reason why. And I think that you can't, and it's an accident, but you can't ignore what happened. They were run down in the street. I mean, that's the deal. They were run down in the street. So there's no justification. I can't come, as much as I can try to stretch my boundaries to try to think that there's some justification here. I just cannot come up with one. And, you know, maybe if anything that comes out of this is a better standard operating procedure that allows something like that to not happen again, or at least you hope it doesn't happen again, because that's got to be incredibly gut-wrenching for this family to live through this jury selection and then ultimately what's going to happen to this New Jersey State Trooper, Robert Higbee. And it all happened on just a sleepy September, you know, nice cool evening about 10 o'clock at night. It changed forever a lot of lives, unnecessarily, I think. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I got a couple of quick emails here. One from Ann, who's listening to us, WVMT in Vermont. Ann says, Kate, I feel for this cop. I really do. I think you are absolutely right when you say they have the toughest job in the world, but the trooper broke the law, and he snuffed out two young lives. He has to pay for that regardless. Here's another one. This one's from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas on KJCE. He sends us lots of email. Haven't heard from him, though, in a couple of days. Jake says, a fascinating story about what happened in New Jersey. Very, very depressing. Two girls that aren't even in their 20s, cut down in the prime of their life. Their grandmother must have had an awful time dealing with it, not to mention the family. In fact, that the trooper tried to cover it up. He should have come forward, should have apologized, should have accepted a plea bargain, and there should not be a trial. Either way, I think he pays. All right, so far everybody's saying that this is pretty cut and dried, that he's got to pay for the fact that he went through the stop sign and hit the girls. I'm surprised, because I thought more people might say, listen, he's got a tough job. He's tracing somebody. It was accidental. There has to be some other way. Change procedures, of course, and do a couple of other things. Maybe he's not back on, you know, not a trooper again. He stays suspended and let go ultimately. But no, everybody's saying he should do some jail time. The main thing that we've been talking about for really a good part of this week has been the swine flu. And I said that I was surprised more people weren't concerned about it. But I'll emphasize this again. I believe, truly, if you're in an area where there's confirmed cases, you're thinking about it more. Or if you have children and they're going to school and you hear about other school children and the influenza that they've contracted and the high fever and all that was like, and then you hear about the 23-month-old child who died in Houston, and that's a sad, sad story, then maybe you are a lot more concerned. Right now, what the World Health Organization has done is they moved the alert level to a 5. That means 6 were in a pandemic. The Texas child who died became the first death outside of Mexico. In Mexico, 160 people have died as a result, and there's been an incredibly aggressive public health campaign for this. So it's serious enough to ramp up the efforts, in fact, to produce a vaccine against the virus. We'll have more on the swine flu. You can throw in your 2 cents about that if you like. You can shoot me an email, americatonight.net, or the trooper as well, 800-259-5791. We'll meet you on the other side.
Hello, operator. Give me the number for 911.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail, comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Abracadabra. I bet there's a lot of people in Mexico, like the President Felipe Calderon, who wishes he could wave a magic wand over this whole swine flu deal. 160 people dead and more than 2,500 people with cases of it. That is pretty scary. And describing Mexico City as a ghost town doesn't even really do it justice. It's like a movie scene. It is. It's like one of those crazy movies, the Kill Bill movies, where everybody is just evaporates because they're so frightened. And that's what it looks like. You see a few people trickling out, maybe into the plaza. Now the government's shutting down. Schools are shut down. The churches are shut down. The sports are shut down. It's what you do when you're that close to a pandemic and you are ground zero. And the millions of dollars, besides the lives, the millions of dollars that it's costing as far as tourism there, unmeasurable at this point when it's all said and done. It's going to be pretty high, though. Five-phase alert for the world from the World Health Organization Director Margaret Chan. She declared that earlier in the day. And we could be in the soup by the weekend. I was told by a doctor earlier in the day, if it ramps up rapidly, maybe by Saturday, Sunday, you'd be looking at a pandemic. You'd be looking at a six. And, of course, they're getting the Tamiflu stuff ready, the backup supplies, the vaccines, all that sort of stuff for seasonal flu vaccines. so that people can get that. But the bottom line is, you catch it from someone, you catch it from somebody, and we're already exposed to it in the United States. At least it's in the United States at this point, depending on where you live and how close to somebody with swine flu would maybe be that you could have accidentally had contact. And I think that's the key thing. 11 states have confirmed cases, the worst being New York with a group of kids from St. Francis. But in Texas, they have cases in Houston and San Antonio, in Dallas, in California, they've got cases as well, cases in the Carolinas. You know, look at a map, and pretty soon it may all bubble over. New Jersey, one of those as well. In Arizona, they're concerned. They've sent in flu samples to the CDC, and it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. I'm concerned because I know that I've been certainly out there, and I've been in the areas where there are confirmed cases, but I'm not paranoid. You know, I didn't touch the people who were the confirmed cases. They were school kids who had nothing to do with me, who weren't related and who weren't children of friends or any of that sort of stuff. So I don't believe in being a crazy fearmonger, let's set off the panic button. But nonetheless, I think more people are getting drawn into the saga of swine flu. And interesting enough, in China, they're killing all the pigs. And there are other places where they're starting to worry about the whole swine equation, the pork, unfairly, because it really doesn't come from there, but being called the swine flu, and that there is a strain, a viral strain in that direction, it has set off kind of a paranoia from the European Union as to travel to the United States and even pork products, no matter how much it's said that it has nothing to do with that. Let's test our own Donovan Madsen and see if he's concerned. He's hanging out at the mansion right now, the mothership, of course, of the Genesis Communications Network. He's nestled in the bosom of that jewel there in Minneapolis. Donovan, are you concerned at all? Are people around you starting to buzz? Not people on the air, but people in your life or just around Minneapolis? Are they starting to talk about this whole swine flu thing?
There's a kind of a detached interest going on, but it hasn't really hit home that much so far.
So it goes along with what I said, that if there are cases in your neighborhood, then the alert level goes up in your mind. But if it's not near you and there's no cases even confirmed in Minnesota, then people are mildly talking about it, but it's not a concern.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's the case in most of the places, even where we're broadcasting here in America, unless you're personally touched by it or think you're going to be touched by it. Certainly don't want, you're not looking for your fellow Americans to get sick with the swine flu, but you're just not thinking it's piercing your bubble. I think what happens is we all live in a bubble, and your bubble's not pierced because Minnesota hasn't been hit by it.
Right. Well, and there's also a sense of there's not really necessarily much I or any other individual person can really do about it. I mean, we could run to the pharmacy and collect supplies, but I prefer to just try and upgrade my basic hygiene practices and, try and combat it that way.
Yeah, which is smart. And, when Donovan says that, we've had people on the show that have talked about that it's simple things that you do, like he's saying. So you don't double dip on the chips and you wash your hands. Because, we had this crazy study that came out a few years ago where the percentage of men who don't wash their hands was scary high. And women, too. It was in the 40s for women, meaning that they're using the restrooms, but then they're not washing their hands. So you've got to wash your hands. You should do that anyway. But the same thing with the coughing and covering your nose and all that sort of stuff. Because he's right. At least that's the one little thing that you can take care of yourself, even if there's no cases in your area. But I'll tell you, in Mexico, and I mentioned this, you don't know what the damage economically will be with the alert now at pandemic level 5. A complete pandemic would be 6, but you've got governments and travel companies scrambling to change travel policies to and from Mexico as the swine flu outbreak gets closer to being tagged to that number 6. And just so many people. The Cancun airport, for example, the traffic downturn has been phenomenal, because usually you see a lot of people going to Cancun. This is a high time to do it, especially you're going to have college kids that get out of school. A lot of times they'll do it, and I can imagine those trips are canceled. Same thing with other high school kids that go down. Even when they're out of school, they'll plan a summer trip. That happens in a lot of schools, and I would think that all of those would be canceled, or at least the majority of them anyway. Because you have 150 people dead in Mexico and thousands that have been sickened with this. And in the United States, 100 confirmed cases. So, it's making people ask the question, is travel safe with the swine flu? Because you're in an airplane and you think of the recycled air and how you catch things. And even flight attendants, the union is saying they want flu safeguards, because you've got the flight attendants. They go home to their families. They're in the airplane, the pilots, etc. So I think the travel industry in particular has been just slammed by this. And I was talking to someone today from American Airlines, and they were telling me some of the trips down to Mexico that they've had some half-empty planes. Now, is it the recession? Or is it the swine flu and people rerouting or changing their plans, their travel plans, because they're in the midst of this? I mean, really, let's be honest. Obviously, if you were going to go to Cinco de Mayo in Mexico City, that has to be out, because why would you do that? Here we are, April 30th. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. They're not having the parade. It's all done, and there's just no way. In fact, France is asking the European Union to suspend flights to Mexico because of the spreading of the swine flu. And they're having a huge meeting Thursday in Luxembourg of the European health ministers. Guarantee that we're going to have some headlines come out of that. In Argentina, they've announced a 5-day ban on flights arriving from Mexico. And we've seen that the cruise ships are not docking in any of the Mexican ports. Most of the large North American carriers, which American I mentioned, Continental, United, U.S. Airways, Delta, Aeromexico, they've all put notices on their websites waiving the change fees for travelers with scheduled flights to or from Mexico, at least throughout this week. And if you were planning on going, check back, because you should absolutely be able to change those plans. Hey, you can shoot me an email day or night. My name's Kate Delaney. The show is America Tonight, and the web address is americatonight.net.